Thanks again for listening. This is All Things Considered from NPR West. I'm Arun Roth. Four voices that rocked the world of early music are calling it quits in 2014. The Hilliard Ensemble hit the scene 40 years ago, attracting a fresh audience to ancient music. This is the stuff that was already old by the time Bach was in his prime. But Hilliard also performed new music and worked with contemporary composers. Their new album is Quintessential Hilliard, connecting the very old and the totally new in one unbroken circle. It's called Il Cortristo. 500-year-old madrigals, alongside a new commission from composer Roger Marsh, who set music to words from Dante's Inferno. Only one man has been with the Hilliard Ensemble this entire time. That's countertenor David James.
There's no perfect time to disband a group such as ours, and there seemed to be three maybe options open to us. One was to think of ourselves more like a franchise group, such as maybe the King Singers, where we sort of passed on the baton. But the one youngster in our group, Stephen Harold, we offered that choice to him, and he wasn't keen. He said, "No, David, you've been at the beginning, and I feel that it's very much your sort of group." The second option would have been just to continue to the foreseeable future. And when you start to get older, you know, little injuries, illnesses become major illnesses. And we see ourselves so much as a closely knit four voice ensemble, just like a string quartet. And we can't really work with anybody else. And so if somebody was, by God forbid, taken ill, the rest was to be stranded. And so the third option was really to have a cut-off date and say, look, we should end at some point. And so I suggested, well, that we are 40 years old, and maybe if we did a whole 40th year, a sort of like a celebratory year of all the things we've done, it would be probably a good time to finish at the end of that. And so that's what we decided. So we'll be finishing exactly a year from now, almost to the day. It'd be December the 20th, 2014.
It seems to me that this 40-year span that you've been performing, it's been a very interesting time for the world of early music. I wonder first if you could maybe take us back to 1973. What was the world of early music like?
Well, it was certainly very, very different from now. I mean, early music virtually did not exist. I mean, well, of course, it was there, the music, but the journey had not begun. And the one group that had formed in London was the Early Music Consort of London with a gentleman by the name of David Munro, who frankly was the greatest inspiration to all of us. But we had no sort of plan, shall we say, grand plan then, oh, we're going to form this group and we're going to conquer the world singing this music. There was a great, certainly in the UK, there was a flood suddenly of singers coming from Oxford and Cambridge who seemed to be veering towards singing this music from the 14th, 15th, 16th centuries. And it all somehow gelled together, all the different groups, and suddenly the explosion started. I mean, this chap I mentioned, David Munro, he was given his own radio programme on the BBC, a daily programme, it was called The Pied Piper. I mean, literally every day. And he thrilled audiences. And suddenly people perked up, thinking, gosh, this is absolutely fantastic. And so we were very fortunate. We were right at the beginning of this, and I'm so glad. I mean, that 10 years earlier, I think we might never have started, you might say.
Well, one piece I'd like to talk to you about in particular, one of my favorites, is the Cadman Requiem by Gavin Bryars, written for the victims of the Lockerbie bombing.
Indeed. Gavin played in a jazz band. His engineer was sadly one of those who was lost in that incident. Cadman, that was his surname. The best way he was able to express his grief and sorrow was to write a piece which asked for straight singing with Vile Consort, which he wrote it for at the time. And very moving it was.
I want to talk about another one of your collaborations that was very celebrated with Yanga Barak, the saxophonist. How did that come about?
How did I guess you'd be asking that?
It's a retrospective, of course.
I'd have been surprised if you hadn't. But anyway, that's extraordinary because we were lucky enough to join the record label ECM. And the man in charge of ECM, well, he is ECM, is called Manfred Eicher. He encourages his artists on his label to sort of have some kind of collaboration. He likes sort of some unusual sort of combinations. Mm-hmm. Rather, I'm not dismissive exactly, but we were a typically boring sort of music-based group who sang sort of, you know, what was put in front of us, you know, church music. So anyway, he arranged the meeting of the two of us together, and we met in a monastery in Austria. We were very nervous, apprehensive, not knowing what to do. John Potter brought along a huge stack of music for us to try. And John got out this piece, a motet. It was a funereal motet, so very slow-moving harmonies, written by a Spanish composer called Morales. And we started to sing this piece. And unbeknown to us, Jan picked up his instrument, and he literally came from behind us and just joined in. And I can still, as I'm talking to you now, feel that incredible vibration, the sense of that moment when he started to play. It was just magic. It was as if he'd been doing that all his life.
Did you have any trepidation going into that, though? Because there had been some other, I think, around 1990, I don't know if you remember that band Enigma. They had the Gregorian chant with dance beats over it. It got very big for a while.
Yes. Well, I might tell you something that you probably don't know here. It would surprise you that you mentioned that. I was sampled on that very album.
Did you know that at the time?
No. A friend of mine's husband worked in the pop music industry. And he knew us, and we were sitting listening to the latest releases, and he played this track. He said, "I know you think I'm utterly nuts," he said, "but I'm convinced it was David singing." And it sold 3 million albums, you know. I mean,
did you ever get a check?
Oh, we didn't get very much, but they did fight it. Strange enough, near you, in a court in Los Angeles, a judge had to listen to my original singing and the Enigma, and he had to decide, because he wasn't musical, whether it was the same voice, you know, and everything. And so we did get something, but the lawyers took most of it, of course. but it was fascinating. The most insulting bit of all was that the original text I sang of the Peritone was about the Virgin Mary, you know, and you know what they called the track?
What was it?
Called The Principles of Lust.
Oi.
It's a bit embarrassing. So that's what actually the record company decided to challenge that in courts, was mostly on that it was being used for the purposes which it was not recorded, you know.
You're still so passionate about the music. I can hear it in your voice. What's retirement going to look like for you, or is it really retirement?
Oh, it is, unfortunately. I mean, I'm dreading it. Half of me is really looking forward to this in terms of the fact that we're going to be seeing a lot of the music that's dearest to our hearts. But the thought that after the end of next year I won't be able to sing it anymore is devastating. I mean, these guys, we spend our lives together, the four of us. And we love singing together. And so it's going to be an enormous wrench. But, you know, we've got to do it. I mean, you just can't sort of just go on forever, you know. And so the decision is made and I'm going to stick by it.
That's David James. He's a founding member of the vocal chamber group Hilliard Ensemble. They'll be disbanding at the end of 2014, but they'll be touring, including all over America. And they just released a new album, Il Cotristo. David James, thank you for all of the wonderful music over the years.
Thank you.
And for Saturday, that's All Things Considered from NPR West. I'm Arun Roth. Check out our weekly podcast. Look for Weekends and All Things Considered on iTunes or on the NPR app. And follow us on Twitter at NPRWATC. Tune in tomorrow when we'll hear what a leader of the Syrian protest movement is doing in Los Angeles. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great night.